Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Dax, this is the first story I ever heard Louis Scarsella tell.
The legendary New York detective. Tell me more.
So Detective Scarsella is with his partner. They're testifying in court one day. It's lunchtime. The court breaks, and Detective Scarsella and his partner decide that this is the moment to track down a murder suspect.
We park right here. Right here. There was an Italian guy right here smoking a cheroot. I say, Venica, Venica. And I showed him the picture. He looked at the picture, he backed off, and he points to the White House. Lo and behold, a man, 6 foot, 300 pounds, comes out of the house. I said, that's him. I said, I'm going to run him down. I gun the car, screech, jump out. I run over to him. I put the gun on him. He's got a Sig Sauer in his waistband. Oh, big Sig Sauer. I jump on him. He's going for the gun. I put my Glock to his head and pull the trigger. But the gun's no good. My gun's no good. I yell to my partner, shoot him! He's bucking me. He's bucking me like a Bronco. I grab him and I knock him to the ground.
Did you ever imagine that clock goes off?
I mean, I intended it to. What do you want me to do? He's got a Sig Sauer going for a Sig Sauer. What am I supposed to kiss him?
Welcome to Louis Brooklyn, where bad guys were around every corner. And it was up to Detective Scarsella to protect the people.
They needed me. And I loved doing it.
Louis' heyday was the 80s and 90s, and back then, all New Yorkers, even the most liberal columnists, wanted law and order.
When you have babies being shot in their grandmother's arms, people's throats being slit for a $5 vial of crack.
I don't care where those prisons are, I want them sent there for long terms.
Louis Scarsella had movie star good looks, smoked a cigar everywhere, and he was tough. He seemed like he was the kind of tough cop the city needed.
He was everybody's idea of the prince of the city. He was the guy who solved the hardest cases and made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
Louis Scarsella was known as the closer, the one who got the confession. And with that came fame. He was on the Dr. Phil show.
No one knows the art of getting confessions better than 29-year veteran New York City homicide detectives.
And he earned the respect of his peers.
Louis is my guy. He's my man. You know, he's my friend. He's a hell of a cop. Great detective.
God forbid something happened to me or my family. I would want Louis Scarsella to do the investigation. I'd put a lot of trust in him.
He looks like shit now. We'll call it shit. Steve, the poor guy, they beat the balls off him.
That's right. Years later, the Louis Scarsella story changed.
The once decorated detective now stands accused of coaching witnesses, coercing confessions, and trading drugs for testimony.
Scarsella cracked numerous murder cases in the 80s and 90s, but his techniques have been questioned.
And a group of convicted murderers says it all comes back to one rogue official, and they want their names cleared.
Oh, yeah, I'm the devil, disgrace devil. Yeah. Well, what can I tell you?
I'm Steve Fishman. I've lived in New York a long time. I've been writing about crime for a long time. As a journalist, I've interviewed cops, prosecutors, criminals. Son of Sam, Bernie Madoff, they opened up to me. I felt I knew a lot about the criminal justice system. So when I heard these headlines about Scarsella, my thought, this cannot be the whole story. Was this really about one rogue cop? Who hoodwinked an entire system?
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross, journalist, author, lawyer. I've written about criminal justice for years. I know what it's like to be wrongfully arrested, personally. And I'm interested in the people who went to jail, and maybe shouldn't have.
We're gonna go deep. Is Louis a hero cop, a scapegoat, or a super villain who helped put away more than 20 innocent men? Men who now want revenge.
I don't know, man. Maybe they want vindication.
You know, that's what Louis Scarsella feels he deserves, too.
I'll tell you what, though. We need to know the truth, both about Louis Scarsella and the band of convicted murderers who took him on.
And about the city we live in.
Storm cloud are coming straight to you. You can't run for shelter. There's nothing you can do.
From Orbit Media, this is The Burden.
Today on the show, The Scoop.
All right, Steve, where do we begin?
We begin with the person who broke the Louis Scarsella story long before you or I got involved. That's Frances Robles, known to her New York Times colleagues as Frenchie.
The Puerto Rican girl known as Frenchie. I do not speak French.
Frenchie's from Queens, from an Italian neighborhood called Howard Beach.
Howard Beach was an astoundingly racist place.
And growing up there, it taught Frenchie to be fierce.
My best friend in elementary school was Puerto Rican. And so this one kid was like, hey, Puerto Rican, where's your switchblade? And my girlfriend Genevieve and I, we went to his house in sixth grade. We rang the doorbell and his mother answered the door. She was pregnant, she had her belly out to wherever. Is Anthony home? And she's like, Anthony! So he comes and he's, you can see he's kind of looking at us rather suspiciously, like, what are the two Puerto Rican girls that I bully in school doing at my door? And we beat the crap out of him right there in front of his mother.
This was the 1980s, and Frenchie was in high school, living in a dangerous neighborhood in a dangerous city. One night, her mother was a victim. Her mother was carjacked. A gun was put to her head. Right in front of their house. And then her mother was summoned to the police station to identify the carjacker in the lineup, the man who'd been arrested in the stolen vehicle.
And the detective puts his right hand on his left arm and he makes like a figure of the number two, you know, holding up two fingers. And he looks at my mother, telling her to choose number two. So my mother goes in there. She looks at the guys. She has no idea who it is. She doesn't remember. It was dark. You know, she had a gun in her face. So she picked number two. I remember thinking, well, screw him. You know, he was driving a stolen car. He's at the very least was involved in car theft.
Guilty enough for her.
Yeah, back then, it didn't matter to Frenchie if this guy did this crime. But later, Frenchie became a reporter, first at the Miami Herald and then at the New York Times. And her views evolved.
You know, maybe my mother helped send an innocent person to prison. He got 7 years. Everybody was in on it. Everybody was in on the game. The cops were in on it. The witnesses were in on it. And the prosecutor probably knew that my mother didn't know who he was and was like, whatever, she said number two, number two.
Fast forward to 2013, and Frenchie is at the New York Times. She's itching for a good story, a big story, something that will make a splash. And one day, she's on a routine assignment when she meets someone interesting.
Was a guy named Derek Hamilton, who was an ex-con who had been kind of like a jailhouse lawyer.
We meet her. An Hispanic woman, beautiful, long hair, you know, made up.
This is Derek remembering meeting Frenchie for the first time. He's a bigger guy, broad chest, about 6'2". He's got a single gold tooth in the front and a shaved head. Big presence.
Queens, I met him on Queens Boulevard, Court Street from the courthouse. There was some restaurant there, and we had dinner and talk.
And so we're just chatting, and he says, oh, you know, I see that you're kind of interested in this issue of, you know, the Brooklyn DA's office having screwed somebody over. I know a lot of cases in Brooklyn of wrongful convictions. Well, okay, really? Okay, good. You know, I was kind of in the New York office sharpening pencils, so that seemed like a good idea to me to follow up on that tip.
So Frenchie brings it to her editor.
And I'm like, oh, I have a tip. You know, there's a lot of wrongfully convicted guys in Brooklyn, and I have a good source. He was a jailhouse lawyer. And so my editor says to me, well, what else do the cases have in common? Like, what connects them? And I was so offended by that question. I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't do it. Like, that connects them. You know, maybe they're all black, you know, and the railroaded by the criminal justice system. Like, I just thought it was such a hoity-toity New York Times view of journalism that I couldn't just come up with a wrongful conviction. I had to come up with what connects them. So I nod politely, you know, yes, ma'am. And I'm like, go back to my desk, kind of grumbling under my breath. And I call Derek, and I'm like, all right, well, this editor of mine wants to know what connects these cases. And he goes, well, a lot of them are the same cop. And his name is Louis Scarsella.
There's smoke behind this story.
That's after the break.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Welcome back. Derek Hamilton was out of prison, but still connected to people on the inside. He's a self-taught lawyer, learned the law behind bars, and he was still in the prison grapevine.
So I meet with Derek again. And Derek, you know, it was interesting because he knew some things, but he did not know a lot of things. He told me kind of loosey-goosey stuff. Like he said, oh, that this guy was notorious for using the same witness over and over again. But he didn't know the names of the defendants who had had the same witness testify against them. And he did not know the name of the witness. So I was like, oh, brother, you know, here I am talking this up to my editor like I'm some hotshot who's going to crack this case open and I got nothing. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do now? You know, I don't have anywhere to turn.
So she went back to Derek. She needed the name of that very talented witness. And that's when Derek gives her a legal document. This was a document written by one of his friends still in jail, another jailhouse lawyer. It's called a 440 motion, and it's what you file if you're trying to get your conviction overturned.
So he gives me Shabaka Shakur's 440.
I probably rewrote that 100 times because I wanted to make sure that I was saying what I wanted to say.
This is Shabaka Shakur. Scarsella helped convict Shabaka of a double murder, which he says he didn't do. His 440 was impressive. 60 pages of legal argument written while he was part of a prison law firm. That's right, a law firm formed in prison and run by convicted murderers, all of whom claimed innocence. More on that later.
Shabaka and Derek got close in prison. Now, Derek urges Shabaka to talk to Frenchie.
So I call her. She was like, okay, you said Scarsella's a crooked cop. I read your brief. I said, listen, I gave her a list of names, a list of, you know, people she could talk to, information that would substantiate that he was a crooked cop. And I remember telling her, like, you an investigative reporter. Go and investigate.
In that dense document, two pages focused on Louis Scarsella.
He says in this document, it says something, Louis Scarsella was notorious in Brooklyn for his, you know, unethical and, you know, framing people, basically. In fact, he was known to use the same witness over and over again, a woman named Teresa Gomez. And I'm like, ching, you know, that's it. That's the name. That's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to find out the name of the witness.
So Frenchie has the name. Now she does what a lot of us do when we're hunting for information. She Googles.
That's my big investigative reporting secret. So I Google Louis Scarsella and Teresa Gomez together. You know, I don't know what I thought I was going to find. And I got a hit. And I'm like, well, this is curious. It was like some random Google forum, a cigar smoker forum, where somebody has asked, I think the question on the forum was, when did you first smoke your first great cigar?
Okay, so a cigar smoker's forum.
Not exactly where I'd expect to find a lead about a crooked cop.
Exactly. But what she comes across there turns out to be crucial to her understanding of the entire story.
This guy, a man, answers, "The first cigar which truly made me realize how much I was going to enjoy cigars was smoked in 1988 at a bar on Remsen Street in Brooklyn, New York, called Callahan's. The cigar was given to me by a legendary detective of the Brooklyn North Homicide Squad named Louis Scarsella. Louis had been the detective on the first two murder cases I prosecuted, both of which featured the same witness testifying against the same defendant for two different murders. The defendant was a dealer named Robert Hill. The witness was named Teresa Gomez, a woman who was even then ravaged from head to toe by the scourge of crack cocaine. It was near folly to even think that anyone would believe Gomez about anything, let alone the fact that she witnessed the same guy kill two different people." And the guy signs it. It's the district attorney, and he's now a judge.
Here's what I'm wondering. What the fuck? The assistant district attorney, he's not the district attorney, just to be clear about that, is basically saying that no one should have believed his witness, the one he put on the stand, who happens to be the lone eyewitness in two alleged murders by Robert Hill on two different occasions.
My head mark is probably still on the roof of the New York Times office from my jumping up and down and realizing that I had hit pay dirt.
So Frenchie was excited by her discovery. I want to point out, though, that what the prosecutor is saying is that he'd be stunned if a jury believed Teresa Gomez. What he's not saying is that she's lying.
So Frenchie now has the name of this troubled and troubling witness. And now she's also got the name of the person Teresa helped convict of murder. One Robert Hill, former drug dealer. So Steve, where does she go from here?
She goes to prison, unannounced, to find Robert Hill.
Oh my God, these are lives. These are real lives.
More on those real lives after the break.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Have you made the switch to NYX? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from NYX. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from NYX are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try NYX. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to NYX. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's nix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Frenchie is waiting in the visitor's room for Robert Hill. He's serving 18 years to life.
He's not expecting her.
So this guy comes in, he walks with a cane, and he's kind of hunched over, and he has very, very long dreadlocks all down his back. And I see him looking around the room, like, you know, so I don't see anybody here. Who's here to see me? And so I raise my hands, and he looks at me like, you know, who the heck is that? You know, but all right, fine. You know, he doesn't have anything better to do. So he sits down, and I'll probably never forget this moment for the rest of my life. I said to him, you know, my name is Francis Robles. I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm doing a story on Teresa Gomez. And he just froze, and his eyes welled up with tears. And he said, I've been telling people about Teresa Gomez for 25 years. And I said, well, now somebody's listening.
But for Robert Hill, talking about Teresa Gomez is not an easy decision. He's about to come up for parole, and one of the things that's drilled into somebody applying for parole is you gotta go in, take responsibility, show remorse. You gotta ask forgiveness. Now, that's gonna be hard to do if you're also telling a New York Times reporter, hey, I didn't do it.
And he said to me, is this gonna mess up my parole? And I remember I said something that, you know, ethically I should not have said, and I probably shouldn't even repeat that I said, but I said it. I said, this isn't gonna mess up your parole. I said, this is going to get you exonerated. And I said something so ridiculous because I believed it.
That's our Frenchie. She'll save your life at your peril. And Robert Hill, let's face it, he needs his life saved. So maybe it's worth the risk. Hill starts talking, and he tells Frenchie, Teresa Gomez is a liar. Frenchie goes on her way, and soon she's working on a front-page story for The Times, one that she hopes will make a splash.
Standard journalism practice is to get a comment from everyone mentioned in a story, especially a high-stakes story like this one. She calls the district attorney's office.
It's like 6 o'clock that Thursday, and I call the spokesman, and I say, I got it. 2,500 word article about all these guys, you know, who say that they were wrongly accused. And you know what it doesn't have? It doesn't have a quote from the Brooklyn District Attorney's office because your quote was so pathetic. I said, so we're going to do a do-over. And it's a one question do-over. Do you stand behind these convictions or not? That's it. We're not going to negotiate a response. We're not going to be like off the record, background, upside down, inside out. What's your answer? And so the spokesman said, I'll call you back. Okay, call me back. So he called back and he said, well, you have to come back to the office tomorrow. I'm like, oh, crying out loud. I go to the Brooklyn District Attorney's office, sit down, like, all right, what is it? We're reopening all of Scarcella's cases. And I'm like, oh. So I go back to the office, and I find the editor, the same person that had originally asked me what connects these cases, and I said, you're not going to believe this. The DA is reopening all of his cases. They're going to go back 30 years. And her eyes welled up in tears, and she said, oh my God. She goes, these are lives. These are real lives that you're impacting.
Frenchie's story breaks on May 11th, 2013. The headline, Review of 50 Brooklyn Murder Cases Ordered. The story lays it all out. How Teresa Gomez says she witnessed 6 separate murders. Who sees 6 murders? And Frenchie tells other stories, like Shabaka's. How Scarcella told the court he had made an incriminating statement that Shabaka says he never made.
A copy of Frenchie's story eventually arrives at the prison library.
It got spread around, you know, word went like wildfire, and everybody had their own copy that they took back to their cell.
By this point, Shabaka's been incarcerated for 22 years.
I had a couple of copies. I even mailed copies out to people like, yo, look. So we was excited about it. And I think that that was the first time that I knew, like, I always thought I was going to get out, but I knew I was going to get out then.
Shabaka's friend, Derek, the one who set all of this in motion, at first, he's pleased when he sees the article. But then, he gets angry. This is personal. You see, Scarsella was the cop who arrested Derek for murder. A murder he insists he didn't do.
You gotta understand something, man. My kids grew up without a father. This bastard was able to raise us. This guy is a piece of shit. But he gets to run around like he's God.
It's Derek and his jailhouse law firm that will lead the charge against Scarsella. With Derek and Louis, it will be a zero-sum game. If one rises, the other must fall.
We gotta get at this guy.
Here's where I enter the story. It was a few years after Frenchie's scoop. I was a New York Magazine journalist back then. I just moved to a new neighborhood in Brooklyn, and on a whim, I decided to open a cocktail bar. I did not have a grand vision. There was an empty space, 224 square feet. How hard could it be? I called it Irv's, after my dad, and I loved the place. The neighborhood loved it. The people on the block loved it. Some even worked there. But that little dead end on which Irv's resided, what a block. Old school. Hey, it was like the 90s in New York City, that block. One day there was a guy chasing somebody with a machete. Another day, a guy ran down the block shooting at someone. Fortunately, not a terrific shot. Intellectually, politically, I'm skeptical of the police. I marched in the marches. Their methods sometimes frighten me. But when violence erupted on my block, the block where my bar resided, I needed someone to call. Who else was I going to call but the police? It turned out that Louis Scarsella had spent a good part of his career patrolling my bar's dead-end block. And there was a moment I found myself wondering if I needed a tough cop to come in and restore some order so I could run my little business. Later, Louis would come by, and he'd offer an appraisal which proved prophetic.
I remember that bar distinctly. It was where I entered the story.
How do I
remember coming there one night, sitting down with you, and having the first big conversation about this series.
I remember that first night you came, and I remember you telling me about your experience with cops.
To be clear, there's been more than one. So we could be talking about the time I got pulled over twice within about 20 minutes because I had a Vanilla Roma air freshener in my rearview mirror.
Yes, you did, but the one I remember, the one that made an impression on me, starts with a pull-up on a scaffold.
I'm entering my third year of law school, standing on a street corner in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. You know, I got my satchel on because at the time I used to wear a satchel, and I used to keep my poems in my satchel, and I was first starting to grow my dreads. And I'm with my buddy who's a student, he was at Georgetown Law. And he decides to jump up on a scaffold and do a pull-up.
Okay.
And I think I jumped up and maybe did a pull-up with him. And we got down and I turned around and there was a cop. I don't know where the fuck that came from. Just next to us. Get down on the ground. And me, having done 2 years of law school at this point, I took crim pro. I'm just more like, I haven't violated any laws that you're just going to come in broad daylight and tell me to get down on my knees. I'm not doing that. I don't know what happened. 5 more police cars show up. And at some point, my friend and I get separated. Somehow, I end up in an alley on my back. and these have three or four on me.
Oh my God.
My family has Sunday dinner. I don't show up. No one knows where I am.
I remember hearing that story and thinking, man, this is crazy. Law school students doing a pull-up and then end up getting beaten by cops. That's just racism, flat out.
And you'd be right, except for one thing. Those cops who arrested and beat me, they were black.
Wow. I did not expect that.
Yeah, most people don't. But for me, what I took away from that is that a cop is always a cop, always blue. And to cops, I'm a black man. And to be a black man, at least in some spaces in this country, is to be a suspect.
Well, here's what I can say. We enter this journey through different doors, don't we?
Yes, we do. And it's going to be quite a ride.
Buckle up. In this series, we're going to look at it all from the inside. We'll get deep on Scarsella.
We're here. We're here in the belly of the beast. But we're here doing what we got to do. And we did it. We did God's work. And we did it.
To me, he's no better than a serial killer, right? Because you kill people's dreams.
This diabolical character that he's been depicted as is just pure nonsense. He had a great reputation.
We'll enter a crazy world of violence.
This guy runs right down the middle of 8th Avenue. And oh, he's got a gun. Sergeant just, you know, shot him. He goes down. Oh, my God. It's like the Wild West.
And we'll hear from the politicians trying to tame it.
I am prepared to do anything, to take back our streets by night as well as by day.
We'll dive into the Brooklyn criminal justice system.
She definitely testified high as a kite one day.
He's the judge, and he puts his arms around me. He says, we both know who this guy is. We both know he's guilty.
And we'll follow Derek Hamilton and his band of convicted murderers who created their own law firm, Behind Bars, to take on Scarsella and fight for their freedom.
This guy's like God when it comes to criminal law.
Everybody knows how to make a motion, but how many times do you really know what your burden is?
Look, man, this is our team right here. This is the AI team. We're going to work these cases and we're going to get out.
And targeting the detective at the center of it all.
I say, damn, man, it's the same motherfucker that framed me.
If I did one nanogram of what they said I did, and you know what I mean by one nanogram? An infinitesimal. If I did one of the things that they said I did, I would have killed myself. I love myself. I'm not going to kill myself.
What do you love about yourself, Louis?
I'm going to tell you. I think I'm a very good person.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Next time on The Burden, I try to get Louis Scarsella to give it all up. He used to be a talker. Then with the bad headlines, he mostly shut up. Frenchie couldn't get him to talk, but I'm on a mission. Turns out, that mission starts with a plunge into the freezing Atlantic.
Make sure your bathing suits don't come off today.
Well, I did it last time.
Yeah.
It did?
It certainly did.
That's next time on The Burden. The Burden is created by Steve Fishman. It's hosted and reported by Steve Fishman and myself, Dax Devlin Ross. Our story editor is Dan Bobkoff, who also produced this episode. Our senior producer is Simon Rittner. Our producer is Sanam Skelly. Our associate producer is Austin Smith. Our fact checker is Sona Avakian. Our production coordinator is Davon Paradise. Mixing and sound design is provided by Mumble Media. Our executive producers are Fisher Stevens, Steve Fishman, and Evan Williams. Additional production help has been provided by Josie Holtzman, Isaac Kestenbaum, Naomi Brauner, Lucy Suchek, Drew Nellis, Micah Hazel, Priscilla Alabi, Saxon Baird, Katie Simon, and Katie Springer.
We want to give a special thanks to Ellen Horn, Zach Stewart-Pontier, Lizzie Jacobs, Nathan Tempe, Tobiah Black, Rachel Morrissey, Mark Smerling, and Lila Robinson. Special thanks to Marcy Wiseman. We want to thank our agents, Ben Davis and Marissa Horowitz. Special thanks to my wife, Alana.
Special thanks to Rhea Julian, my wife.
Legal support has been provided by Mona Hook at MKSR LLP. And a very special thanks to Evan Williams, one of our executive producers and the person who made this podcast possible. We are honored to feature the song Black Lightning from the Bell Rays as our theme music. The Burden is a production of Orbit Media in association with Signal Company No. 1.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.